Long before the church had pulpits and play spaces, she had dinner tables and kitchens. Every meal mattered, and Jesus pointed the way. Everyone was welcome when Jesus sat at a table. From VIPs to traders, from religious leaders to shame-filled sinners, from those in the margins to those at the top, he ate with them all. And every meal became a peek into his new ways of living and new ways of loving. After all, why did Jesus come? He came to serve, to give his life, and to seek and save the lost. And how did he come? He came eating and drinking. What we learn at the table with Jesus is what we need for our tables today.
Hey everybody, my name is Scott. I'm one of the pastors at Calvary Church, and I just want to welcome you and thank you for joining us on this CWOW Sunday. With me today, I believe for the first time on a recording at least, we've done some stuff at Calvary with some married people events, things like that, but I don't think we've ever recorded together. I will let her introduce herself.
I'm Thea Letty. Scott's wife.
My beautiful wife. And we have the opportunity, if you were here last Sunday, or if you were tuning in online last Sunday, you know that we were kind of kicking off a new sermon series that was kind of covering, you know, dinner or meals with Jesus and looking at different meals throughout Scripture that Jesus had with some different people. And so we're not specifically going to be targeting a story of Jesus having a meal, but we're going to be kind of staying in that vein of hospitality, meals together with people, and something that Thea and I are both really passionate about is we really enjoy having and hosting people at our house for meals. It's something that we've been doing for...
since we started coming to Calvary, so...
Yeah, you're better at timelines than me. 4 years? Five years?
No, it's almost 7 years now.
Seven. And there you go. She's better at timelines. She's also why she's the one that keeps the calendar. So about 7 years. And whenever we first started coming to Calvary, it was obviously pre-COVID, and there was a Saturday evening service. And during that service, there was actually a dinner beforehand and dessert afterwards. And it was also, of the three services available, it was the smallest of the three. And we were coming from a smaller church. And so we kind of thought, hey, the Saturday evening thing, closer to the size of where we were coming from, and there was a meal, so maybe we'd get to know some people, that sort of a thing, but found that to be a little bit slow going.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm definitely the more people person out of the two of us, and Scott had the opportunity to get to know more Calvary people just from being on staff, and I was feeling a little disconnected coming into it. I wasn't getting to know people quickly, and we were waiting for invites, and they were slow coming. And yeah, by slow, I mean they weren't coming. Shockingly enough, not many people want to invite a family with five children over. The twins were about 6 months old at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and we were coming to the Saturday night service, and, you know, even then it was kind of like, you know, we kind of filled up our own table. Mm-hmm. So it was a little bit tough to invite somebody to sit with us. It was a little bit tough to for somebody else to invite us to sit with them. But we were kind of like, oh, you know, there's a meal every Saturday. We'll get, you know, connecting with people, get to know people. And it just really wasn't happening. And we weren't getting invited over other people's houses. And so just kind of feeling a little disconnected, more so, you know, like Thea said, more so you than me. Mm-hmm. But we kind of made up our minds at one point. I don't even remember exactly if it was like my idea, your idea, our idea, but we just kind of thought, hey, instead of waiting for this to happen, especially because it wasn't really happening, you know, maybe we start doing what we were hoping other people would do. And so we just kind of decided, let's start inviting people over to our house for meals.
Yeah. And I have to tell you, when we first started, I was a crazy lady. I was not enjoyed by my family.
What?
I know.
Yeah, no, it's totally true.
I felt like the house had to be perfect and the meal had to be perfect. So I would stress out, scream at everyone, to be honest with you, because everything had to be, I had to put my best foot forward. Yeah. And then all of a sudden the doorbell would ring and I'm like, smack that fake smile on your face, because here we go. We're a happy family.
Yeah.
And no one was enjoying it at first, primarily because of my attitude. So I had to really pray about that And now when you come over to my house, it's very lived in. It looks like we have five children. And I do a lot more simple meals. Sometimes it's I'm going to go to Sam's Club and pick up rotisserie chicken. It might be spaghetti, nothing too fancy because it makes it.
Yeah, crock pot stuff.
Yes, crock pot stuff. And I've learned it's not about what food you put on the table. People are just excited to be invited to be around your table.
Yeah, so we had kind of decided our initial goal was kind of ambitious, which was probably part of the reason why it was more stressful. We were kind of like, hey, we're going to shoot to have a new person, couple, family over to our house for dinner every week. Mm-hmm. So every week we were going to have somebody over that we'd never had over from Calvary, which if you, you know, it's not too hard to do. I mean, even after being here for 7 years almost, it's still really easy to walk in on a Sunday morning and be like, I feel like I don't know a lot of these people. So we were doing that and it was a little stressful. It was the whole thing about making a good first impression, all that sort of a thing, but we kind of stuck with it and we never had a bad experience. We had some really great where it was just like, oh my gosh, those are like such an amazing, like loved hearing people's stories, loved just kind of getting to know them. And a lot of times we found people were feeling like, hey, thank you so much for having me over, because they were walking in oftentimes, you know, to a weekend worship service feeling like, I don't know anybody. And so all of a sudden they kind of had at least one family with friendly faces who they knew our names, they knew a little bit of our story, and all of a sudden just having that one connection point, you know, it's not like, hey, I need to know half the people at the church or anything like that. It's like just that one connection point really seemed to make a difference with people. And so we kind of all of a sudden started realizing like, hey, this is really pretty cool. And we got into a groove and really started enjoying ourselves. And you know, not everybody who came over is like a new best friend, but I mean, every single time when it was done, it was just like, hey, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and our kids loved it. They really look forward to meeting new people.
Especially in the comfort of our own home.
Yes, they really did. We actually had to kind of get to the point where we would let them stay for the meal, and at times they would dominate the conversation, and then we would release them to do their own thing so we could spend time with the couple.
Release them or push them out into the backyard. We actually had times where they went to bed angry at us because they didn't feel like they had been given enough time with our guests. Mm-hmm. So we decided like, all right, you guys can, you know, you're having dinner with us. You can have part of the conversation, even like you said, kind of dominate the conversation. But at some point, you know, you got to go play, and we're gonna kind of lean into actually trying to get to know these people. And so, you know, we don't have a huge house; we have a rancher, and there's actually eight of us living in there with my mother living with us. And we kind of had this small table, and so anytime we had anybody over, anytime we hosted, it was kind of cramming people in. And so Thea at one point was kind of like, hey, I'd love to get a farm table, this, like, you know, a custom made kind of giant wooden farm table. And it was just one of those things where it's like, budget wise, you know, they're not giving them away. And so it was kind of like,
I wasn't teaching full time again. Yeah. So I was still a stay at home mom.
Yeah. So it was just kind of like, well, it was a dream, maybe sometime down the road type of a thing. But we had some friends, Matt and Shelby Seibert, who we had often had over to the house, and they actually ended up kind of cooking up this idea of called the, was it the big?
The Big Table Project.
The Big Table Project.
So it was Christmas before COVID. They came over and they said, we had a Christmas present for you. It's like, okay. And it was a bag, and I opened it up and there was a little table, and like a dollhouse table.
Yeah, dollhouse table.
And on it, it says big. So I'm like looking at it, I'm like, big? And it took me a second. And then I saw Big Table. And Matt said he had been praying for us. And I get emotional when I talk about this story. And he felt like God was saying to create the Big Table Project. They reached out to a lot of families and people who had shared meals with us. And they donated money to have a custom farmhouse table built for us. The table at its smallest is 10 feet long, and it has two inserts to go up to 12 feet. It is a massive table, and it is gorgeous.
Yeah, and it is like solid.
It is solid. Another cool thing with it fast forward a few years, we went to Calvary Penns Valley as the gathering pastor there for a while. And the guy who made it for us is a Calvary Penns Valley attender. So we got to know him and his beautiful family. And it was so sweet.
And one of the things in the bag with this little, you know, doll table were a bunch of notes. Mm-hmm. So all the different people who had contributed to the table project had left a note of how they had been blessed by just spending time with us around our dining room table. And reading those was very emotional because, again, it was just this kind of confirmation of, like, you don't necessarily think, mm-hmm. you know, even when we were doing it, I don't think we necessarily realized how impactful yeah. it was to the people that we were inviting over, because, like, we don't feel like particularly special people. and we have a hectic house, and oftentimes it almost feels like we're apologizing for the noise or the mess or the this or the that. And it's like, and not necessarily realizing, you know, the impact that sharing a meal could have relationally with people. So reading through all these notes of people saying, hey, thank you so much, or we were so encouraged, or, you know, your friendship and all this, it was just kind of like, oh my goodness, I did not realize. And as, you know, as you're reading them, it's like, you know, I mean, I'm not one that never cries, but, you know, I was misting up as I was reading through those notes. And then, you know, it was funny as I was kind of thinking about that, you know, I feel like the Lord used a lot of that. I mean, not even just the relationships that we were building with people around Calvary, and that was 100% happening. And there's, like, mm-hmm. I think we started a life group, and we had people that we had over for yes. dinner wanted to get into the life group simply because we'd connected over a meal, and they felt comfortable enough to say, hey, we'd love to be in your group, and things like that. But then as we kind of transitioned more intentionally into Front Yard Mission, that really felt like God had kind of used that season, and it's not done. We still do it, mm-hmm. you know, but God had kind of prepped us a good bit, you know, for Front Yard Mission by kind of like, well, we had been inviting a lot of people from Calvary who we didn't really know over to our house for a meal. And now we're kind of inviting neighbors who we didn't really know over to our house for a meal. And so that was really neat to just kind of see the way that the Lord had kind of trained us in that way. And now, one thing I jumped ahead a little bit, but I wanted to take a minute to talk about was, you know, kind of post COVID, you were kind of having a sense, you know, we had talked about, like, feeling like a little bit disconnected ministry wise, kind of at church, like, hey, I want to be more involved. I want to be doing more in the church, but I'm not really sure what that might look like. I feel like I'm not really doing any ministry, and I want to be doing ministry. You know, should it be, you know, youth, should it be kids, you know, Calvary Kids, you know, what is it? And I had mentioned about maybe doing like a coaching call with, you know, Terry Walling, and you were not wide open to that.
No, not because he's not amazing. I was nervous. I was nervous to meet with a life coach. Honestly, I think my fear was that almost that I wouldn't find what God was calling me to do, that it would almost be like I was a dud, yeah. if I'm being honest. And a friend of ours, a Calvary person, Betsy Forney, is becoming a certified life coach. And Scott said that she needs hours with people. So I felt more comfortable meeting with her. So we got together one Saturday morning. I wasn't sure how, like, what to expect. And we were talking. She just asked some questions and let me talk about where my heart was. And at the beginning, I thought my passion point was one area, and which I do. It was marriage ministry, which I love being a part of. We love doing premarital counseling with couples. But I wasn't sure where to go with that. And as we were talking, I noticed I kept hitting on all of my favorite times are around the meals with people.
This is when you were talking with Betsy.
Yes, yeah. Sorry, with Betsy. For example, when we were at Calvary Penns Valley, the first Sunday of every month, we did Pizza Sundays, where we would use Uni pizza ovens, and everyone would stay after church. We would make pizzas and just hang out and talk. And Saturday night, when we had the meals here at Calvary and having people over, I think the reason why I loved it so much was because not only was I blessed through it, but I felt like people felt like they were seen and loved. And that means so much to me. Through the letters with the Big Table Project and talking to different people, the reoccurring message was, I felt included. I felt seen and a part of something. And that is what my passion was. And all of a sudden, it was like a light bulb went off in my head. And I looked at Betsy and I'm like, oh my word, my passion is having meals together with people around my table, helping them just feel loved and seen and a part of a family. And it was a really awesome God moment.
Yeah. Well, I remember you coming home and just kind of saying like, oh my gosh, I went, you know, I kind of went wondering, where's my ministry point? And came home realizing I've been ministering to people this whole time, but you never really looked at it as ministry. Mm-mm. You just kind of looked at it as like, well, yeah, I'm having people over for meals. And all of a sudden, again, it was just kind of that. So it was just these various points where it just feels like the Lord kind of kept, you know, for lack of a better term, you know, giving us, you know, repeat classes or repeat lessons, saying like, hey, like, you know, this is not just a thing you're doing to fill time or just because you enjoy doing it. Like, this is something that I've put in your heart. This is something that I'm using you guys to love, serve, encourage, bless, you know, pull people into a sense of belonging and community. And like you said, feeling loved and seen. And so that definitely carries over into Front Yard Mission because especially, you know, COVID pre-COVID, I think too, but post-COVID maybe especially, or is, you know, disconnected. More and more people are, you know, shopping from home, working from home, you know, even going to school from home. You know, a lot of times now, like, we still like to eat out, but a lot of times our eating out is ordering and bringing it home and eating at home. And so it's kind of like, you know, so if we can start building relationships with our neighbors. And so we've done movie nights, we've done donuts in the driveway, we've done pies in the driveway, which I'd completely forgotten about until you reminded me.
Yeah.
You know, 1 month in I think it was November.
Yeah. Well, hold on. Like, I want to talk about this 1 month in November. We had started small where we would bake stuff and I would have the kids deliver it to the houses because I felt like people trusted kids more. They'd be like, oh, that's sweet.
Hard to say no to cookies from a really cute kid.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we had this idea for 4 straight weeks in, I think, October or November. We were going to, every Tuesday night, invite the neighbors on the block to a different event. It could be you could come to all four, you could come to one, whatever worked best for you. So the first event where I'm inviting people to our house, I did a hot cocoa bar. I had it all set up, super cute.
I say, if you know Thea, some time and energy went into planning this hot cocoa bar.
We were so excited. The time is coming up. We're now waiting for the people. The kids are excited. And no one came. Not a single person came. I mean, I think that's your greatest fear, that no one's going to come. Yeah, it happened to us. I was discouraged.
We didn't take it personal because we're awesome. So we're like, this can't just be us. It
can't just be us, right?
We're so amazing. But yeah.
So the next
week, it was a little deflating.
It was deflating.
Yeah.
The next week we tried again and we had a few people come. I think week two might have been Christmas, like some type of Christmas cookies or baked goods. Week three, we did pies and a few more people came. Week four, we did a sit down dinner together. I think I made soups and we had probably at least half of the block come.
Yeah.
And it was the first time having them into our home around the table and they started to get really excited about spending time together. The other people started talking about what could we do going forward.
Yeah. Yeah, that was really neat and such an encouragement to us. Mm-hmm. But again, like over time you realize like there's just something incredibly relational about sharing a meal.
Absolutely.
You know, I don't know what it is. I know I've read studies and seen articles and different things like that. And you know, it's one of the reasons why, you know, family blogs and things like that are like how it's so important for families, you know, the kids to have dinner around the table with the family, because there's just something relational that happens when you share a meal with people. Yeah. And you know, even thinking about, you know, I was looking through scripture, kind of like, you know, looking at different stories or scriptures about hospitality and things like that. And, but you know, the one that I landed on was John 13:35. It says, you know, this is how people are going to know that you're my disciples, by the way you love one another. And I understand that has like zero to do, you know, on the surface at least, has zero to do with hospitality. But, you know, I recently read a book called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And one of the things that was covered in this book, and I've actually seen it in other books, like there's a book called The Art of Neighboring, the guy talks mm-hmm. about it there, is he says like love and hurry like cannot exist together, because the one thing that love requires is time. And the one thing that hurried people don't have is time. And so the more hurried you are, the less time you have, and you can't love people well with no time. It just takes time to do it. And so as I was thinking about, you know, hey, this is how people know we're the disciples of Christ, is how we love each other within the church, but I think also love each other, you know, our neighbors, the people outside of the church. And like, what better way to express love than time in our culture that's so hurried, you know, so busy, so rushed. It's like, man, if we can create time for somebody, I mean, it's like, it doesn't have to be, like you said, an elaborate meal. It doesn't have to be this incredibly, it's the fact that it's like, wait, you're telling me you set aside a couple of hours of your time. You have five kids, you know, and you like, you work full time and and you set aside 2, 3, 4 hours to just be present with us and hear our story and listen to us, you know, tell, you know, ask questions and tell us about your, you know, all that kind of stuff. I'm like, you know, so even now I feel like the Lord's still kind of showing me, I'm maybe a bit of a slow learner of just how unbelievably important, you know, and how powerful of an expression of love and worth and things like that sharing a meal can be. So, you know, again, Jorn talked about this last week in his message. You know, back in for the Easter service, Pastor Dan was talking about the cross, resurrection, love. We can love like Jesus. And I guess we'll kind of close maybe with this thought and, you know, let you add anything that you have here at the end, babe. I think when we love like Jesus, when we make space and time, it is spiritual warfare. Mm-hmm. Like we are going to war on behalf of our neighbors, on behalf of our church family, by saying like, you know, I'm not like, we're not going to allow, as best as we can, you know, we're not going to allow you to wonder if you're seen, yeah. to wonder if anybody cares, to wonder if you have worth. And it may sound like an overstatement that like a meal, you know, can combat that sense, but it really can.
Absolutely. I agree 100%.
Yeah. So we would encourage you, you know, this is CWOW Sunday. Maybe you've already got plans. Maybe you've already got things going on. But as you look at the, you know, the days to come, weeks to come, just encourage you, don't underestimate the value of having somebody over for a meal. And mm-hmm. and you know, maybe you're like, man, the thought of doing that with neighbors that I really don't know yet is uber scary. You know, that's okay. You know, again, like I said, we kind of started with our church family, and that's a really pretty safe audience to start practicing on. So maybe, you know, do what we did for a couple of weeks or a couple of months. You know, have somebody new over each week, have somebody new over each month, and then, you know, allow the Lord to kind of teach you and show you things and all that. And as you get more comfortable, you know, branch out to your neighbors and invite them into your home and just see what the Lord does and how he uses it. Absolutely. Any other thoughts to close with?
I don't think, I was thinking one funny story, just so that you don't have to think it's perfect. Scott served pizzas to some of our neighbors in the Uni pizza oven that were raw in the middle and burnt on the outside, and they still came and had a blast. And, you know, it's been a blessing not only to our neighbors and to the people we've invited over, but it's been such a blessing to our families. To have our children coming up to us, all ages, saying, can we invite this person over? I think we should invite this family over. Their eyes are already starting to get, like, to be open to others, to have them.
Yeah.
have that mentality is really exciting.
Yeah. And it is a really easy way to invite the kids in to be a part of what you're doing.
Try it out. It's probably won't be perfect, but I think you'll be blessed. And the blessing to have someone feel like they are connected is really neat.
It's no small thing. All right. Well, let me just pray for us as we close. Heavenly Father, thank you so much just for who you are. Thank you that you invite us in to be a part of your family, that you reconcile us to yourself, and then you send us out as ambassadors, and we can love like you love, and we can invite people in to your life and into a relationship with you. And one of the first steps of that is oftentimes for us just to invite them into our lives, into our home, into our space. And so, God, we just pray, help us to have our eyes and hearts open to the people that we're living life around, and we just ask, use us to bring glory to you and to do good things and bring life and encouragement to our neighbors, our family, our friends, our coworkers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.